Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, Mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Got miles to go before we sleep.
Lawman is putting an end to my running, and I'm so far from my
home. We will not go gently. We're going to unleash hell here in December.
Oh, Mama, I can hear you a-crying. You're so scared and all alone.
Hey, somebody fix this guy's buckle. I know he can play football.
Coming down from the gallows, and I don't have very long.
We will live on. We will live on to fight another day. 2016 was a very good year in my estimation. However, it ended Saturday night in Foxborough, Massachusetts, as the Pittsburgh Steelers lost to the New England Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Hello, once again, my name is Brian Anthony Davis, and welcome to Steelers Six Pack of Fact or Fiction. It's the show where we take six timely questions that are actually facts about the Pittsburgh Steelers, and we label them as fact or fiction. So that's what we're going to go ahead and do tonight. If you want to call in, please wait until the end of the six pack, and we will talk to you. So I don't want you to be on hold forever, but feel free to go ahead and call in as always. We do enjoy hearing from you, and the show, once again, is brought to you by FrankWalkerLaw.com, BehindTheSteelCurtain.com. So we're going to get into it. First of all, the AFC Championship game. Wow, so much to say. The first thing I'm going to say is the New England Patriots, you can label them cheaters. You can label them what they want, what you want. They're a good team. They are a great team, and they find ways to win. They find ways to just adjust. They always seem to have the Steelers' number, which leads me to number one. The Steelers do not have talent to beat the Patriots. Is that fact, or is that indeed fiction? You know what? I'm going to say fiction. The Steelers have all the talent in the world to match up with the New England Patriots. It lies in scheme for me. I know that I'm not trying to say that this was a game where they were completely outcoached, and I'm not blaming it all on the coaching staff, but you know what? They were out, and they were actually outclassed in this game, as I know I'm going to hear from a lot of people from saying that, but you know what? They were completely beaten in this football game. A lot of things did not go their way and could have went their way in a different direction. The officiating, something that I pride myself of not complaining about, but I'm going to just call it like I see it and say the officiating was tilted in a major way in New England's favor. But when it comes down to it, the Steelers were out-schemed in that game. It seemed like Bill Belichick, to me, had a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, a plan D, so on and so forth, all the way to Z. And then start with double A all the way to double Z. It seemed like he had a million plans. The Steelers, in my own opinion, they were outplanned in that game. Here's the thing. Le'Veon Bell goes down in that game, and what happens? They bring out a very capable, one of the best backup running backs in the game, in D'Angelo Williams. But the problem with that is the fact they just continued with their own game plan centered around Le'Veon Bell. Not the talents of D'Angelo Williams, not the talents of the entire team and the situation. involved. And what for me, that was glaring. Just for the fact that that game plan was centered around Le'Veon Bell, that wasn't a game plan for D'Angelo. And so you need to have plays for D'Angelo. They were giving D'Angelo Le'Veon Bell's plays. And he's not that. He's not the same runner. He's a capable, a very talented runner, but he is by all means not the same runner. Being said, they really struggled in that regard, but the talent is there. You can't tell me that the Pittsburgh Steelers don't have a better offensive line than the New England Patriots, because they do. They have a fantastic offensive line. They have good young defenders. Bud Dupree is, I mean, if he played a full year, may have had Pro Bowl consideration. Ryan Shazier was named to the Pro Bowl yesterday. He has a whole lot of talent. I mean, James Harrison, from 38 years old, is an absolute hero for the Pittsburgh Steelers, in my estimation. Just a fantastic player. They have the players on that team to be able to compete. They have young players on that team, too, and we are going to address them in just a moment. But as far as running back, as far as wide receiver, Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, they're not Pro Bowlers. They're all pros, and they are better players. But as a team, the New England Patriots played a better game. As a coaching staff, the New England Patriots prepared better. And that's just in my opinion. Very disappointed with other things, such as in-game adjustments, but that's something that I'm going to get into a little later on. I'll just get into it now. They did not adjust as well as I thought they could have at halftime. Chris Hogan was beating them up, did not adjust. They just kept on going about their game. Look, I'm not a Mike Tomlin hater. Not a Mike Tomlin hater at all. But here's the thing. It just seemed like this was the game plan they always have, New England Patriots, and it's a stubborn game plan. And the reason it's a stubborn game plan, they're like, this is what we're bringing. We don't care if you know it. We're just going to beat you. And it just doesn't work that way. So with that being said, the Steelers do definitely have the talent to beat the Patriots. They just did not bring it all together. But I'm going to bring something up later on in the show of when we're talking about the progression of the playoffs for the Steelers. And I think there's a silver lining in this whole thing. But let's go on to number two. The younger Steeler players were not ready for the big stage, and it was glaring. You know what? I'm actually going to go ahead and say that that's a fact. Look, the younger players, they will be shining stars for this team. They're already starting to shine. Artie Burns, good player. Sean Davis is a good player. Javon Hargrave, I'm going to make him an exception. I thought he was ready for that game. And he was a shining star on defense, as far as that goes. But it just seemed that they were beaten by a team that, there's young players on the Patriots, but they were just beaten by a more cohesive unit. I thought that a lot of the young receivers, like Kobe Hamilton, Eli Rogers had a great game, but he had that fumble. Those guys, even Sammy Coates definitely dropped a lot of balls and looked at a point to be scared out there yesterday. The other players, a lot of the young guys did look scared going into New England. So take that for what it's worth, but I do believe this team can build on this. I think this is, like I just said, a number one. Very talented team. They were not ready for yesterday. And it reminds me of another year, and I'm going to talk about that a little later on, too. But let's go on to a big one, and this one's going to take a lot of discussion. Number three, it's quite possible that the Steelers may be ready to move on from their all-pro Antonio Brown. You know what? 2 weeks ago, I would have said this is fiction. This fact was not even worthy of this show 2 weeks ago. fact was not even worthy of this show a week and a half ago. The reason it came out is after the Facebook Live video started to change a little more. Look, with AB, I always thought that free spirit, little bit young spirit, I mean, a little bit immature, but when it comes to practice, no one practices harder. Seems to worry about his brand. And you were thinking that the whole Facebook Live problem would actually fix the whole situation. But now after the Patriots game, I'm starting to think that it wasn't fixed. It's actually a more glaring problem than I originally thought. And this is where I'm completely shocked. And it's because the morning of the Kansas City game, before this whole thing happened, plenty of reports came out, and very good reports said that Pittsburgh was going to throw the bank at Antonio Brown and make him the highest paid receiver in the game. I think that talk is over at this point. If not, it might be on life support. And the reason I'm saying is there were reports, and there's even the picture that we have that's going to support the promotion of this very show is a picture of Antonio Brown on the sidelines pouting. And the pouting wasn't at the end of the game. It was at the beginning of the game when D'Angelo Williams ran into the end zone and had a touchdown. He wasn't celebrating as much as he looked sullen. He looked upset. And it's starting to make a lot of people think that at this point that it's less about team and more about stats and brand with Antonio Brown. And, you know, this is my message to Antonio, because I love him as a guy. I love him as a player. But you need to be a teammate first. Look, if you want a brand, I've said this on a show a lot of times, if you're concerned about your brand, then you need to play first. Your brand is fine as long as you are performing as a teammate and on the football field. But when stats are getting in the way, you know, that becomes a problem. When you're more worried about your own personal game than the team, then that becomes a problem. And I'm starting to think that the team's fed up with it. Look, after the game, he just said to the press, "See you next year," and didn't even talk. And, you know, I know I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. When Cam Newton acted like that after the Super Bowl last year, I blasted him. So if I don't do it to Antonio Brown, I am a hypocrite. But look, you have a responsibility to talk to the press after the game. Look, I'm not a member of the press. I'm a guy that does this show from his kitchen. Okay? I'm just a fan. But the press is annoying. But you have an obligation to your team as a team leader to talk and represent your team of class, and that was not representing your team of class. And the other problem I have, that right before the press conference, to apologize on Thursday, he Facebook Live a video of him getting a haircut. So I don't know if he's learned his lesson. I don't know what it is, but I just feel like Antonio Brown at this point is looking a lot more like player that Mike Tomlin described in his press conference last week as a player that could bounce around from team to team because he's not thinking of a team first. Mike Tomlin does not want that to happen. I don't think Antonio Brown wants that to happen. I don't want that to happen. I want there to be joy. But I'm starting to think that in their head, just like in 2010, there was discussion about life without Ben Roethlisberger after allegations came out of Milledgeville, Georgia. That's not the case today, and we're going to be talking about Ben a little bit more, but Ben built on that. Antonio Brown has not started to repair anything yet, and it's not like what he did was criminal. It's not like what was, you know, a crime against humanity. It's just, it's more of a just a disrespect to the team and a lot of things. And if you are pouting, and I'm sure that could be spun around, but if you're pouting because another player got a touchdown and you didn't in a game that you're losing, then that's a problem. And maybe life is better. Maybe it's addition by subtraction at this point. And I hate to say that because I want to see the Steelers in a Super Bowl with 84 running wild and possibly being an MVP. But that's something that he needs to soul search and realize that it's more than just one guy. And like I always say, that brand's fine if you're winning and you're doing the right things. But when you're pressing to make things happen, that's when they become a problem. So this is the midway point of the show. We still want you to call in, so feel free to give us a call. You know the number. And I definitely want to hear from all of you. So feel free. This is going to be this is not the last Fact or Fiction, but we're going to go on a hiatus, and we are going to pop up from time to time. There still will be shows, but we definitely want to hear from you, so feel free to call in. We already have a caller on hold, and we will go ahead and take those calls at the end of the six-pack. But once again, brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain, is Pittsburgh Steeler six-pack of Fact or Fiction, and also brought to you by Frank Walker Law, and let's hear from them.
Smart or stupid? Those strobing lights in your rear view? That flashlight shining in your face?
License, registration, and insurance, please.
The little adventure you're about to have with this guy?
I'll need you to step out of the vehicle, please.
Okay, so you've done something stupid. Fix it with a smart move.
For DUI or criminal defense, call Frank Walker of frankwalkerlaw.com. He knows his way around a courtroom. 412-532-6805. 412-532-6805 or frankwalkerlaw.com.
FrankWalkerLaw.com, real talk, real experience, real results. Make sure if you do something stupid that you give Frank Walker a call. Once again, this is Steelers Six-Pack of Fact or Fiction. My name is Brian Anthony Davis. Usually do the show with Zach Farnes. Zach is vacationing, actually not vacationing, he's studying abroad. He is over in Madrid, Spain, and there is a major time difference. So if I were to be calling him right now, we'd be talking to him at 2:17 a.m. So for the last few shows, we are going to go ahead and go solo here. And we definitely do want to hear from you. So if you want to call, 347-850-8581 is the number to call, the frankwalkerlaw.com hotline, that 347-850-8581. So let's go ahead and move on. And go to number four. And this is a little bit of an extension of the Antonio Brown talk, but it's a little more to do with Ben Roethlisberger's comments today. So number four, Ben Roethlisberger's retirement talk is nothing to worry about. You know what? I'm going to say fact. He's not going to retire. But there's a hidden message in that retirement talk. And now he didn't come out and say, yeah, I'm going to retire. I've been thinking about it. The question was presented to him in a way that, are you definitely coming back? And he's like, well, I'm not mulling. I'm going to mull everything over. I'm not, it could be retirement. I mean, I will look at every single option I have. And so, I have no problem with that. But the more that I thought about it, I actually thought it was a little bit of an ultimatum to the Rooney family and a little bit of an ultimatum to Mike Tomlin, and it has nothing to do whatsoever with money. It has everything to do with the immaturity of some players on the team and the lack of discipline. Now, this is me reading into this, and it very well I could be completely off base here, but I think it's him saying, look, if you don't clean this up, why should I stick around? It's not a talent problem. We talked about that at the beginning of the show. He brought this up after the game against Dallas. And next thing you know, things got cleaned up. Things actually got a whole lot better. But their word that he brought up lack of discipline of his teammates. And, you know, Antonio was one of the guys he was talking about. And he also brought up the coaching staff in different ways. And I think he wants to see things cleaned up. Well, he knows this is his best chance for a ring. I don't think he's going to retire. I don't think this is anything to worry about. But I think it's a message. And, hey, let's see how they respond as a team. He's saying get rid of anybody. He's saying, let's handle our problems so I could run the show. Ben had a good game the other night. He had a very good game the other night. Things went against him. They did a very good job, the Patriots did, of taking A.B. out of the game. And, you know, A.B. had a good statistical game, but, you know, and I don't really blame A.B. for his performance on the field. I really don't. They took him out. And other players had to step up. And, you know, the offense, this was not an offensive problem. To me, this was a defensive problem. And, you know, and I thought it was a coaching problem as far as adjustments as we go. Look, a lot of people are calling for Ben's head at this point, too. And a lot of there are some people, and I don't think there would be many, but there's some people that are really like, yeah, let him retire. I already saw people that were posting in-game, time to draft a new quarterback. No, it's not time to draft a new quarterback. Not at all. Look, Ben Roethlisberger has 3 or 4 years left on this team, in my estimation. Maybe fewer, maybe one fewer, maybe one more. He still can get this done. He definitely can. But I think he wants the team to know that you're not going to keep me around here if you don't clean up our problems. And those problems, he can't do it by him. He can't clean these problems up. Authority figures need to clean these problems up. He can help, but the problem of discipline went away a little bit. The problem of attitude went away a little bit during an 9-game winning streak, but it really reared its head with not only the Facebook Live situation, but just the way it was handled afterwards. And now the pouting incident, the alleged pouting incident, that's what was perceived. I'm sure we'll hear more about that as things go on, but you know, Ben Roethlisberger wants to be assured that he has a good reason to come back. So I'm going to say the retirement talk is nothing to worry about. It's not. He's not going. Ben's not walking away. We always talk about Ben liking a flair for the drama. I don't even think that's really this either. I think this is just a fact. He wants things to get better, and he needs messages to be sent. And he's strictly saying, look, I don't have to stick around here if you're not going to give me a team that cares about team more than they care about themselves. That's not everybody. That's a few players, but it's enough to be a problem. It's not just Antonio Brown. It could very well be Le'Veon Bell, too. And the reason I say that is he was talking like crazy about before the loss, how he wants to remain on the team, how he thinks he'll remain on the team. Now, after the game, I'm not sure if they're going to keep me. I'm not sure if I'm going to remain on the team. So, and he has been dancing around in videos recently talking about money and pay me. And, you know, this isn't the right time to do that. The playoffs, before the playoffs, in the home stretch, not the time to do it. The time to do it is silently with your actions on the field. So with that being said, I'm going to wrap this up with saying fiction. He's not going to retire. Don't worry about it. Things are going to work out. But it's a threat, and maybe it's a threat that needed to be made. Number 5, the Law Dog, Lawrence Timmons, and Debo, James Harrison, will not return for 2017. Look, fiction. These guys are going to return if the Pittsburgh Steelers want them to return. And I'm telling you right now, there's no reason not to bring these guys back. You can continue to bring these guys back at a team and cap-friendly price. Lawrence Timmons said this a year and a half ago, that he would come back when his contract expired for a hometown discount. James Harrison's already done it. James Harrison said the other night that he doesn't think he's done. It's up to the Steelers, but look, they need to have the leadership of these guys in the fold. Timmons had another great game the other night. Just absolutely incredible. James was they didn't unleash James as much, but he was really, I mean, he's a force on that defense at 38 years old, and even next year at 39 years old, the way the guy works is just absolutely incredible. I go back to last week. They got off the plane around 4 a.m. in Kansas City, after a trip to Kansas City. Debo's in the weight room. That's a guy that puts $300,000 to $400,000 worth of money into his body every year to continue to stay healthy and to be able to play. And this is a guy who's done that 3 years after he originally retired. He retired and came back and has played three seasons, which is absolutely incredible. Timmons, he's an unsung hero for this team. This is a guy that just continues to get it done. And he's a guy that, you know, I just think is absolutely a team player. And you need to have a guy like that on the team also. So I implore the Steelers to bring a guy like this back, guys like both of these guys back. I think it's a good move. I think it's definitely what they need to do. And I fully expect them to do it if the price is right. And these guys, the price is going to be right. They want to be back. They want to be a part of this team because they, like Ben, know that a Super Bowl is definitely possible. And we're going to talk about that now in the very last question of the six-pack. Number six, the playoff progression since 2017 will continue, and the Steelers will indeed reach Super Bowl 52 in 2017. So I brought that up to some other people, and they're like, what do you mean about the playoff progression? Here's what I mean about the playoff progression. In 2014, the Pittsburgh Steelers made the playoffs, wild card round. They made the wild card round and lost. Last year, they made the wild card and then made the divisional game. They won the wild card game and lost in the divisional game. This year, the ladder, they continued up the ladder. They went ahead and made not only the wild card game, the divisional game, then they made the AFC Championship game and lost in the AFC Championship game. So if the progression continues, they make the Super Bowl next year. If that ladder and that progress, if that's what happens, then hey, all's good and they're in the Super Bowl. I mean, the problem is if the progression stays the same, then maybe they don't win the Super Bowl. But making the game is really possible. And here's the reason I think making the Super Bowl is a huge possibility next year. And it's simple. Look at 2004. Here's a team in 2004, 10-1, Ben's rookie year, but they were young, they were raw, they were not ready to compete. They lost to the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. What did they do the very next year? They didn't have the best season in the regular season, but what do? They won the Super Bowl. And not only did they win the Super Bowl, but they won it in just dramatic fashion, not in the game, but just having to win their last four games and then indeed having to continue and win four games in the playoffs, which is astounding. It was actually a great feat for that team to go ahead and do. So with that being said, if the progression continues, teams are actually similar, 12 years apart, they're similar. That can very well happen. I said at the beginning of the show, this is a team with the talent to win the Super Bowl. This is a team with just as much talent as the New England Patriots. Now, I will say this. Tom Brady is out of this world. I'm not out of this world. You might not like Tom Brady. Great quarterback. And I don't think any stretch of the imagination that you could say that Tom Brady is not the greatest quarterback in the game and not in the discussion, you really can't say that because he absolutely is. So I would go ahead and say, at this point, back to that, Tom Brady being one of the best of all time in the game, he had great talent. Steelers have just as much talent, if not even more than the New England Patriots. I just think that at this point, they need to build on it. Now, if you remember, all the way back in 2005, there were some problems with their star wide receiver. Hines Ward towed out midway into the preseason. Held out for a couple of games in the preseason. And just their Burris, who was one of the star receivers on that team, he was gone. He left in free agency to the New York Giants. They brought in a guy like Cedric Wilson, and he was one of the guys. He was a role player, but he's one of the guys that just helped out. Jerome Bettis, who they thought was going to retire, he came back. You had Duke Daly, who was supposed to help carry the team. He got injured. They both got injured, Bettis and Staley. And then they have to worry about what are we going to do at running back at that point. They brought in Willie Parker. So Mike Tomlin alluded to this today. He alluded to the fact that there's going to be different personnel on this team next year. This is not going to be the same team. I don't know what exactly he's alluding to there. I don't know if he's saying that there's going to be major pieces of the puzzle gone. I don't know what they're planning. But the team's not going to look identical to this year. But the main thing they want to do is bring back the major parts, and I'm sure they're going to do the best to do that, and they're going to do the best for the team in general. So I'm hoping that happens. I'm really thinking that next year is going to be a special year. I think this year was a special year. It really was. I mean, you got to admit that 29 other teams would love to say the same, actually 28 other teams, because the Packers are saying the same thing too, would love to have gotten to the AFC or NFC championship game. And that's what happened. So, you know, I think the progression is going to continue. I just see those similarities. So I'm going to say Super Bowl 52. I don't even know where it is. I just didn't check. If anybody knows where it is, let me know. But I just have that feeling that if this team is the team that we think they are, that they might be around next year. So that's the end of the six-pack. So let's go to the phones. And we've had a very patient caller. You are on the air with Brian Davis and Steeler six-pack of Fact or Fiction. Who do we have here?
Brian, good evening. Vito Anko.
Vito, one of our Hall of Fame callers, just the first caller for the show that we do, the Monday Hangover. So glad to hear from you, Vito. So you've listened to the six-pack from the beginning tonight. I'd like to hear your thoughts on what we said tonight.
Well, you made a lot of good points. I think the biggest problem we have with Manning feeling the way he does is I think he's disappointed. Remember, when they were 4-5, he said, follow me and watch me lead the way. He did that. And I think what started happening as we got into the playoffs, people stepped up in the Dolphins game. Then we went through some changes in the Chiefs game, and then all of a sudden in the Patriots game, it just seemed like everything fell apart. And I do think he had a good night. I think he was making his throws. I mean, he did throw that one interception that was going for Darius A. would pay. But I think it was a night where he had to carry the team. He was trying to do the best he could. And when people are dropping the ball because they're nervous and they're not prepared, there's only so much he could do. And I think we discussed this last night. But I truly think, Brian, there is a good chance that he may not come back. And I think maybe he's thrown that out there because he wants to see change. He wants the organization to do something about it, step up and, you know, get people to be accountable. Because you're right, this is a game that we had a shot at, and there's no reason why we couldn't have played them tougher and been in that game all the way to the last minute. I mean, if we play them to the last minute and we lose, at least we gave it 100%. Didn't seem like that happened that night. But, you know, you brought up a lot of good points. I don't know if we need to trade Antonio Brown. I mean, I don't know if we need to go that far. But we definitely need to figure out the identity of this team. all the young guys we have in there, you know, need to step up next year. And it's not a bad idea, Brian, to pick up some other pieces during the off season. So we'll see what happens. But I think as fans, you know, we've always talked about this. We're very grateful. We're very lucky to be able to have a guy like him around so long. And, you know, I think the window's closing. I think the window's closing. You know, he may come back for another year, maybe 2 years, but you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen during the offseason. He may hold out. He may want to put pressure on the Rooney organization. He may want to put pressure on the personnel and see if there's going to be changes made, or maybe guys are not accountable for how to become accountable, where they're going to have to talk him into coming back. But only time will tell.
Do you think that this is a situation where Ben is just putting this ultimatum out there, and he hasn't come out and said it? This is, we're reading into this, and but you know, I think there's a very good reason to read into this. But do you think that it's just, look, you take care of this team, and I'm the guy to lead you. But if not, you know, I might as well. It's just, if you don't make it worth my while, then I'm just going to go home, and yeah. I'm not going to just destroy my body for other people that don't care.
No, I agree with you, and I think the biggest problem is, you know, he's hurt right now with everything that happened. He really is, because that was a big letdown that game. I mean, we played much tougher against Kansas City, and we kept that game close. This game was only close for a little bit of time, and then it kind of got away from us. So I don't know if it was a play-calling thing. I don't know if he just felt, you know, the young guys didn't do what they could do. He could have done. Or maybe it's just a bunch of drop passes that should have been caught so we could have kept the game closer. But, you know, for him to come out and say that after this, it's definitely worrisome. And I think as a fan, you got to worry about it. And then you got people on the chat rooms talking about trading him. Well, you know what, guys, it would be we without him. We wouldn't even have a chance. And just think, he didn't have one of his best years. Now, some people, Brian, said that he didn't look as passionate this year as he did in the past. Did you notice that in some of the games? Because I really didn't notice that, his body language, but a lot of people felt he wasn't as passionate as he was in years past, and they said you didn't see the passion in his eyes the other night when he was playing either. And I don't know how true that is, but he didn't have a great year statistically.
You know what? I don't see that at all. In fact, I saw a lot of passion. I saw it in that game with him. I mean, he gets on these young guys. I think he wants help. And I almost think it's, you know, I was talking about the similarities between the 2005 team, excuse me, the 2004 team, and how they morphed into a Super Bowl champion the very next year. Two of the major contributors in that, and Jerome Bettis coming back, because Jerome Bettis was going to retire. Hines Ward cried after the game. Ben Roethlisberger and Hines Ward went to him, and Ben Roethlisberger was like, give me 1 year. We'll get this done. I promise you, we'll get this done. I think Ben wants that. I'm not saying that he's begging for that. I'm not saying that he wants the same kind of treatment. He doesn't need somebody come begging him to come back. But I think he wants to see the passion from somebody on this team, one of the young contributors like a Bell Brown, to say, look, I'm going to get it together. If you just give this team another chance, we're going to come through for you, just like he did. And he did that. And there was a lot of immaturity around Ben Roethlisberger way back when, especially after his rookie year. But he did do that, and that's one of the most mature things he did back then. But that's something that actually needs to happen now. Needs to happen again. And that's one of the things that will inspire Ben again. I'm not saying he's lost his inspirations, but he's feeling like he's left alone on an island. It's not Ben. It's not Ben at all. It's the fact he needs to know that it's worth it to come back. And that's how I'm looking at this.
Yeah, only time will tell, Brian, because if he does hang it up,
it will.
We're in for a rude awakening if he hangs it up.
I think it's all going to shake out fine. But, you know, sometimes you need to put a message out there. Sometimes you need to let your employers know that, hey, I need other people to have the same passion that I do. and the actions of Antonio Brown, I still like it. I'm still rooting for this kid. I want to see this guy in black and gold. I want to see him here, but I want him to put all that other junk aside. And I don't care about his brand. His brand will come when he wins the Super Bowl. His brand's already there. He's hurting his brand by doing this, by these kind of antics. And so I'm thinking he's one of the ones that needs to go to Ben and say, hey, you stick around, I'm guaranteeing you we're going to do this. So this is a message not only to the Rooneys, not only to Mike Tomlin to tighten things up. It's a message to Antonio Brown. It's a message to Le'Veon Bell. Quit worrying about the dollar signs, and more will come. It's like Field of Dreams. You build it, he will come. Well, you know what? You win it, immortality comes. Football immortality in the city of Pittsburgh will come winning one Super Bowl. A lot of guys have gained that Pittsburgh immortality by winning a Super Bowl. Do you think Willie Parker has to pay for a meal in Pittsburgh? No. I don't even think that a guy like Cedric Wilson would have to pay for a meal in Pittsburgh. Those guys, and it's not about paying for meals. It's just that football immortality. You know what? Antonio Brown wants it, but he's going to get it if he wins the Super Bowl in Pittsburgh, and they need to look at big picture. I think that's what Ben's just begging for. And I don't blame him. Do you have anything else on your mind tonight, Vito, with the fact or fiction?
No, I think that's it. I think that was one of the biggest headlines when I saw that, and I was kind of a little in awe and shock. But, you know, I can understand him feeling the way he did, and, you know, I know Mike Mitchell said it won't
yeah,
be the same. We wonder what's going to change. You know, I'm sure you might see some different faces.
You know what? And you very well might. And it's crazy to think that that you could lose a guy, lose one of your stars, and come back and win. But it's definitely possible. I don't know. I mean, look at a team like the Pittsburgh Pirates from 1991 when they lost to a huge free agent contract to the New York Mets, Bobby Bonilla. Everybody thought, okay, it's over now. They were one inning away from the World Series that year. And look at the Steelers when they lost Plexico Burress, as we talked about after the 2004 season. Everybody thought it was over. It's sometimes what I'm trying to say is sometimes team is a whole lot bigger than individual star. And sometimes it's addition by subtraction. I don't want it to happen. I want everything cleaned up. But if it's not the end of the world if you get rid of a troublemaker. Not saying – I don't know how much trouble is being made, but there's some clear dissension on that team. There's some clear problems in that locker room. And that's lending to a lot of things, and it's definitely going to come back when you lose a game like that. It's going to come out. It's going to come out like crazy. So, Vito, I want to thank you.
Yeah, surprised by him on the sideline laughing. I don't understand why he would be doing that when his team's losing. I would think that'd be emotional for a lot of people. I mean, I didn't notice that, but people said he was on the sideline laughing with other receivers.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not good.
That did happen, too.
This is the biggest game of the year.
Yeah. That's something that happened, too. So I don't know what was being discussed at that time. I'll actually stick up for him a little bit here because I laugh when I'm nervous, and maybe they were laughing at a situation, and they're like, okay, let's go do it, and it just didn't happen.
Also,
but, yeah, time and place.
We got to think about this, though. Remember, in the AFC Championship game in 2011 with the Jets, he made that final play on that final drive for the first down to get us to the Super Bowl, if you remember.
Yep.
I don't know if you remember, Rex Ryan was thinking they were going to run and bend through the short pass, and it was that same play he made against the Chiefs. I mean, so this guy's money. When you need him to make the big play, he makes the big play. He's been doing it for years and years.
He just needs to understand that it's I mean, you know, the old phrase, I in team. You know, that's maybe you need to just go back to basics, and he's got to realize that. He's just not the old guy.
They will talk to him, and I'm sure he'll learn from it and move forward and get better, or he's just going to, you know, be in trouble.
Yep. And you know what? I think that's all that needs to happen. It's just like anything. If you're – it's like human relationships, interpersonal relationships. I mean, it doesn't have to be football players. It's the same thing. If you have a problem with a coworker, or if you have a problem with a loved one, a family member, a spouse, a best friend, and sometimes it needs to be a tough conversation, or sometimes it needs to be you just need to have that that heart-to-heart. And, you know, getting on the same page is as simple as a heart-to-heart. And that's, I guarantee you that's going to happen. If it doesn't, and if it's too dire, they will cut ties. I don't think they want to cut ties.
No.
And the, but you will see tomorrow, as soon as this show's over, there will be a, there will be an article on BTSC, and it will be labeled, "Could the Steelers actually cut ties with Antonio Brown?" And that's what the headline for the advertisement to go ahead and listen to this very show is going to be tomorrow. And it's one that's going to generate a lot of attention, just because we haven't thought about it before. Now we're thinking about it big time, and they're getting. If you get to the very point where you think you can't fix it, that's when you make the change. And you're going to find out, if they go ahead and do that, you're going to find out that a bigger problem exists. And if they actually go ahead out and do that, that means they're doing it for the betterment of the team, because they've exhausted all options. That's what I'm thinking in my mind. They're not going to get rid of them just to get rid of them.
Right.
Because the all the draft picks, I mean, draft picks aren't worth a player of that ilk. Definitely something we are going to see. I'm sorry, Vito?
Yeah, I said thank you for what you do. You have a great evening. Always appreciate you being here.
You too, Vito. Well, thank you so much. And you're always one of the callers that we count on, and we really appreciate you. We have some fun things lined up in the off season too. We're definitely talking about a big draft show on draft night, so we definitely want you to be a part of that. So we're lots of this is not the end of it. So I'm telling you, I'm telling everybody, remember behind the steel curtain, just because the season's over, there's going to be so much to talk about and so much to stay tuned for. So Vito, thank you very much. And for all of you out there, thanks for a great season. Hey, this was a successful season for all of us as Steeler fans. It was a great season. It didn't end the way we wanted it, but it was still a very good season. I am proud of our football team, and I'm proud to be a part of Steeler Nation. So for the final time in the 2016 season, once again brought to you by Behind the Steel Curtain and FrankWalkerLaw.com, for the final time for the season, I'm going to say it, that's a fact, Jack. Good night.